Welcome back. I'm going to invite you all to return to your seats. Thank you for that. Just one second. All right. In preparing for today's sermon, I actually felt like what part of what the Lord said was the announcements are actually part of the message today. So give these announcements a little bit more attention and consideration because they are actually integral to and even exemplify the message. So it's part of it. First announcement, as you may have seen in the weekly email, Susanna Newman needs some help. She's got a greenhouse that needs to be covered over with poly. Again, they need a windless day to do it, so they can't schedule this in advance. But she's looking, we are looking for people who will say, if I am available on that windless day, okay, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock, it has been scheduled. May there be no wind. Please let her know if you are willing and able to come help. We need some hands who are going to make this thing happen. This is a way to be the body of Christ, to show love and support to the family. So please text her your number. Say you can come, or that'd be great. We would really appreciate that. Second, there is a potluck at the end of the month. We're having it out at the Bender's place on Sunday, June 28th in the late afternoon or closer to the dinner hour. Please put that on your calendar. Please plan to come and just be together. Enjoy one another's company, enjoy some good food. And yeah, that would be great. Thirdly, there is a wedding shower today for Kate Stober, also out at the Bender's place. So if you fall into the category of this is for me, this is for you. Please make that a priority and go and support our sister and their family. Fourthly, Hope Mission has officially let us know that the application has gone into the city. The city has posted or will be posting the sort of review that goes out to the neighborhood to see if the neighborhood has feedback, opposition, that kind of thing. That starts tomorrow. It's a three-week period where they'll be looking for, waiting for any sort of feedback. So be praying into that process and that God would grant them favor and direction. So that will end on June 28th. So it's the next 3 weeks that is open. Please be praying for that. Lastly, I'm going to invite Sam to come on up. He's got something that he'd like to share with us. If you don't recognize Sam, you should mostly recognize Sam, most of you, but Sam grew up here, got married and has planted elsewhere now, but he's got something to share with his wider family about how God's at work and how he can be part of it and how we can be a part of it.
So good morning, guys. Like Ben said, for you who do not know me, my name's Sam Bender. The Bender's place, I'm their son. So, I've been attending Unity for a long, long time. And just recently, I guess 3 years ago, attended Briarcrest in Saskatchewan, Bible school out there. And I've been there for the last 3 years and just graduated actually from Briarcrest. My years there were full of enriching Bible knowledge and equipping for a lot of things that I am very sure that God has in store, one of them being what I'm about to share. And that's also, as Ben said, where I met and got to know and eventually married my wife, Katie, and I. We live in Briarcrest, or at Briarcrest still. And as I've graduated this year, I'm going into nursing the following year in Regina, and Katie is starting her internship for her fourth year in Regina as well. So we'll be out in Saskatchewan for, she says, maximum 2 years, because that's how long my program is. So that's our situation right now. But this summer has presented a few new things that we weren't exactly expecting, but are very excited to share. So Katie was offered a position, and basically she's working for Hope Mission as a coordinator for a missions team to Romania. So the Camp Falcon Rock, I'll go into a little bit of detail on this. It's a camp that was an NAB-sponsored mission, a partnership between the North American Baptist Convention and the Hungarian Baptist Association. And this is a camp that was founded about 12 years ago. 2014 is when it started. And ever since then has been very integral to kind of the missions organization and reach into Romania. So what Katie has been offered is the opportunity to coordinate the team of volunteers who are going out to Romania to run the program staff this summer. I myself am a volunteer for the program staff. And what we'll be doing is we'll be leading anything from sports to evening program to wide games and all kinds of stuff in between for a month from June 28th to July 28th. And that is, coming up very soon. And we're very excited for this opportunity. For you to have a bit more history or know, have been in our church, my family, my father and my two sisters have both are all been to Romania to the same camp and helped volunteer out there. I myself have never been out there. My wife has been there many times. She's been there multiple times. I've never been, and I'm very excited to go. This as my first time to be out there serving. And what I'm hoping and praying for is that this can be not just a trip that we can serve and that we can support the mission in Romania, but also as a future stepping stone for potential mission opportunities for my wife and I. As I'll share prayer requests in a sec, that's probably the top of the list. But Romania is coming up very soon, and very much looking forward to how that'll go. How I'm hoping that we can be supported by you guys is, like I said, first of all, prayer. We want prayer for the program team. This is somewhat of a season of transition for the camp. The long, long time missionaries who are in Romania have recently come back to Canada, and there's a little bit of a transition, kind of finding a new replacement. So there's a bit of a flux of how it's all going to work, and it's a little bit of a different year than it has been for the past 10 or 12 years. So just that the program team can run smoothly, and we pray very much for the hearts and the lives of these children in Romania that can be touched and ministered to for our mission. It's a language barrier as well, that we can find ways, even amidst this language barrier, to reach these kids in very incredible ways. And like I said, for Katie and I to understand what God is calling us to, both of us have a strong desire, one for camp ministry and to minister with kids in particular, but also for missions. So if this can be an opportunity that God presents a door for us to walk through, or whether this is something that he says, I'd like to have you somewhere else. We're very excited to see what he will do while we're in Romania, and we ask for you guys to be praying for that. And then secondly, I'm hoping to raise a certain amount of money, about $900, to help cover some of the costs just for the ground stuff. This will just be covering kind of meals and accommodations. And there's, I guess, a little bit of, oh, not up there. That's okay. I have a few sheets here that if you guys would like to give. Oh, never mind. It is up there. Sorry, Ben. the information at the bottom, if you guys want to take a picture or anything, or if not, I have a few sheets here that kind of summarize a little bit of that. But hoping to raise a little bit of money. Feel no pressure, but this would very much help with Katie and I just for some of the costs and the stuff of going to Romania. So, that's kind of most of what I have to share about for that. And thank you guys so much for being such a special church family. I was asked and thought about where I wanted to share, and I said I couldn't think of a church family that I call more my family than here. So thank you guys for listening, and please support Katie and I, at least in prayer. I'd be very grateful for that. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, Sam. having been a poor Bible college student for a long time, I will be more blunt than maybe Sam was. They're going to volunteer at their own expense and trusting that God is going to provide, and God usually provides through his people. So please do consider that. Usually when we start praying for things, our wallets follow. So let's pray. And let's remember how God is at work there. Don't take my sermon. Thank you. Might have improved, actually. We'll see. Lord, I bless Sam and Katie and the work that they are doing. I thank you for Hope Mission and the way that they have a heart for even more than the kids in the cities you have placed them in. And I thank you for this link with Camp Falcon Rock. And I pray blessings upon this trip. I pray that the children and families of Romania would feel the love of Jesus as they engage with people who have gone at their own expense out of a love for Jesus and out of a desire to see your work continue in places of need. Lord, I pray that you would provide for Sam and Katie, that you'd raise up people who will have a heart to pray and have a heart to give, have a heart to partner with you and what you want to do. So Lord, I thank you for them, and I pray your blessings on them, and I pray that there would be harvest as a result of you sending workers. Lord, as we open your word, would you guide us to see the link between these things, to see how you are at work in our city, in our world, in our midst, in the room here. May you receive all the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you go to Acts chapter 11, please? We're picking up the story that we started last week, and I'm going to rehearse it here. I'm going to read it again for us, and I will draw the connections between what has already been shared. What's coming? I'm going to pick it up, chapter 11, verse 22. So God had sent some people with good news out from Jerusalem on to the regions around, and they keep traveling, and they get to a place called Antioch, a couple hundred kilometers in Syria, a couple hundred kilometers from Jerusalem. And the people who are settling in Antioch take the good news of who Jesus is with them. Verse 21 says, the Lord's hand was with those people, and a great number of people in Antioch believed and turned to the Lord. News of this, you should see this on the screen, news of this reached the church in Jerusalem. And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch, and when he arrived and he saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and he found him and brought him to Antioch. And so for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened, by the way, during the reign of the Roman Emperor Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, so that's the church in Antioch, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. So that's the province where Jerusalem is located. And they did this, sending their gift to the elders of the church there by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now, it was about this time that Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, one of the original 12 disciples, put to death with the sword. And when he saw that this met with the approval of the Jews, the leadership in Jerusalem, he proceeded to seize Peter also. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handed him over to the guards, and intended to bring him for trial. And we're going to leave it there. This is the word of the Lord. We thank God for his word. The church in Antioch is growing. It's growing quickly, and it's growing partly because God has sent some people there to nurture the growth. It started off as this grassroots thing, and before long, some leaders show up. The church in Jerusalem sends Barnabas. Barnabas goes to get Saul. Saul and Barnabas together start teaching large groups of people so that this church is growing in its identity in who Jesus is, to the point that they recognize our identity is Jesus. That's why we're going to call ourselves after Jesus. This is who we are now. We are Christians. We are known by the name of Jesus. Whatever Jesus is, that's who we are. That's who we are to become, and that's what we are becoming. And as they go deeper in this walk with Jesus, the Lord at the same time recognizes they've got some teachers there, they've got some leadership, some apostles there who are teaching. They need some prophets. And so, as God would have it, some prophets come along, some people who have a special ear for recognizing God is speaking and here's what he is saying. And so this community goes deeper in hearing the voice of the Lord. And you'll notice, actually, that when one of them speaks up and says, this is what I heard the Lord say, he says, there's a famine coming. Like, good news is not on the horizon. And it's coming to the entire known world. It's coming soon. But notice he doesn't say what they should do about it. His word from the Lord is simply, hard times are coming. And it's up to the community then to discern, what are we going to do about that? And it's out of that the next part comes. Before we get to that next part about what they do about that word, notice that what is also happening at the same time is that the government is putting pressure on the people who call themselves Christians. And they start arresting leaders. They put one to death. There is more that is coming to Peter, as you will see. All of this is happening at the same time. This church is growing in their identity. This is who Jesus is. God is speaking to them personally. They are hearing from him. So they're going deeper in identity. They're going deeper in recognizing the voice of God and how he is at work among them. And they're seeing that all this is not happening in a corner or in a vacuum or anything like that. It's happening in the middle of a dark world where the powers that be are actually against what is happening. I'll touch more on that a little bit later. So by the Spirit, Agabus stands up and says, famine is coming. All right? The grocery stores are going to be bare very soon, he says. Crops are going to fail, and they don't have the same social safety nets that we have, right? Things are going to be hard. And notice that he says, it's coming to the whole world, the whole known world at this time, the whole Roman world. And in case you're not aware, Antioch is just as much where they are is just as much a part of the whole Roman world as Jerusalem is. In other words, both of these cities are going to be hit. Hard times are coming to both places. The needs are going to go up. In fact, you could actually argue that the needs in Antioch are 10 times more than greater. They will be 10 times greater than the needs in Jerusalem. The reason being, Antioch was 10 times larger than the city of Jerusalem. They're going to have 10 times more needs, right? Likely. And the people in Antioch decide, we're not going to hoard, look after ourselves. We're going to actually think about who else might be in need. Who else can we give to? And this wasn't just a let's pass the hat. Right. When I was going off to Bible college, to seminary, we moved from Hamilton to Vancouver, and my family decided, like, one last family party. We were a close family, always getting together with cousins, aunts and uncles, and unbeknownst to us, they had passed the hat just to help us with a little bit of extra cash to start our fridge and our pantry and our freezer when we got to Vancouver, because it's actually a lot to get a functional kitchen going. right? And they passed the hat for us, and it was awesome. It was just this wonderful gesture of we're family, and we support you. And it was awesome. But what is proposed here, what these guys come up with for what they're going to do goes way beyond just passing the hat. In fact, Luke is the author of Acts, and he kind of downplays how involved it would have been, how much effort, how much sacrifice, how much time, how much energy, how much actually danger they were in to have an extended collection to provide famine relief for another city. As I've mentioned many times, travel in the ancient world is incredibly dangerous. Right? When Jesus tells a story about a Good Samaritan who gets attacked between Jerusalem and Jericho, that was a common thing. Everyone knew that. Highway robbery was like an occupation for people. They're not traveling with bank cards. They're traveling with coins, which are heavy, which add up. To travel in the ancient world with money was dangerous. To travel in the ancient world with lots of money created additional challenges. And anytime you're talking about traveling with other people's money, you're also wanting to make sure there's accountability. There's a whole bunch of logistical things going on here. This is actually a very prolonged process that Luke just very quickly summarizes. They took an offering. They sent it this way. But it was way more than that. Way, way more than that. And like I said, they're doing it for people who are going to be every bit as much in need as they themselves in Antioch will be. Why? Let me give you a couple of suggestions and then one that's definitely in the text. I imagine that part of what is involved in this is a thank you. We're so deeply grateful to you guys in Jerusalem. You shared Jesus with us. The church in Antioch was planted because some people fled from Jerusalem and Judea. And they're thinking, how can we repay the people who introduced us to this Lord Jesus who has absolutely transformed our lives? How can we show them gratitude and appreciation? We'll make sure that they are taken care of when disaster comes. Thank you for sharing with us Barnabas, because the church in Jerusalem specifically sent Barnabas to help them out. And they're going deeper in their walk with who Jesus is and their identity as Christ followers, as Christians, because Barnabas showed up, because the church said, oh, we hear that they're going to need some help. So they're, in a sense, returning the favor. Maybe they're saying thank you because, of course, it was Agabus who came from Jerusalem to let them know trouble is coming. I think there's a lot of gratitude for just how the body of Christ supports one another in different areas, right? Could we think now about the body of Christ supporting different areas and what Sam and Katie are doing? What about the fact that the apostles, the first people who followed Jesus, left their nets and livelihoods to follow Jesus? They left their income and are now relying on faith and God's provision for them in an ongoing way. And I wonder if the people who are in Antioch sort of recognize these people who have supported us are living in an ongoing way, trusting that God will provide for them. And God usually provides for his people through his people. I wonder if some of what that is going on. But here's one thing that I know for sure because it is right in the text. You'll see it up there. I underlined it, verse 29. They recognize that they need to send help because they're their brothers and sisters. They're part of the family. And this is a way to build a bridge. These two churches are going to have some challenging relationships down the road. Partly because they are made up of very different people from very different backgrounds. And they're going to come into some sharp conflict at times, as often happens within families, right? And yet they're going to find a way here to build a bridge, to continue to show support and love and say, you're family. I know of two brothers who just a while back, had been estranged for years. And the one of them, he and his family were traveling, and they got caught in sort of like this freak natural disaster and ended up having to reroute and spend like the better part of a week in a hotel. And they weren't well off, and so they had to now provide, like, pay for their hotel and all their food and as they're waiting for all this stuff to clear up so that they can get home. And the other brother, you know, they've been estranged, heard about it, and just sent an e-transfer and a little note. With, I think it was several hundred, like $500 or something, just saying, "I still love you." And that gesture was the beginning of repairing a relationship between the two brothers, and they reconciled, right? Something like that, I think, is going on here. Before there's a need for reconciliation, there's just a gesture of, "I love you." And we are family, which means we're going to share what we have. I think part of that's happening here for sure. Jesus makes us family, right? It's not just me and Jesus. It's always me and Jesus and the other people who love Jesus. Joel isn't here today, but he has this brilliant, brilliant saying. He often encounters people who love Jesus but have left the church. And his response to them is, that's like inviting Jesus into your home and telling him to leave his wife in the car. I love you, Jesus, but your wife has to stay in the car. A brilliant, brilliant analogy, because we would never do that to a friend, right? And the church is the wife of Jesus, your family. Now I want to tell you a story. A lot of you have already heard this because I told it at the AGM. I'm retelling it here for two reasons. One of them is because I actually think it's quite important for our church family as a whole. And the second reason is because it overlaps with this passage. So let me tell you a story. I'm going to abbreviate it as much as I can. A couple of weeks ago, our group that goes out on Sunday nights to the streets, we always listen before, we pray and listen beforehand and say, "Jesus, what sort of directions or words do you have for us this evening?" And there were four of us out. I didn't hear a thing. But the other three, one heard the word sushi, one heard the word African, and one heard the word, the phrase, "Where the water runs dry, there am I." We didn't know what to make of that, but we start wandering, and right away, we meet an African. And not only do we meet an African, not only is he African, this guy's African with African accent, like has just recently come to Canada. And not only did we didn't just stumble on him, he saw us. And when he saw us, he started doing this, like inviting us over. Never seen him before in our lives. Guy in the streets, this African guy is a guy in the streets. And we didn't know why we were there. We couldn't understand a lot of what he was saying. Strewn around him are papers that have his name on them from the government. It's a very weird interaction. He's got around his neck, it looks like he's come from some sort of church program, and it's got Jesus right here. And he keeps inviting more and more people over to join us. We don't know why. I'm not going to go into all of that we prayed or talked about. We move on from this guy. We pray for him, then move on. And someone says, let's go over to the sushi restaurant around there. So we go over to the sushi restaurant around there and around the corner. And there's people outside eating sushi. So we say, "Hey, can we pray for you?" And they definitely do not want prayer. But they start talking about the government. Things are really dark these days right now. And what this world needs is community. And our solution is we're going to hold like an art exchange to build community. And we're going to bring people together, just like Jesus did, where Jesus built community, calling his disciples together. They don't want prayer, so we sort of move on. By the end of that, we're really confused. Why we got both African sushi, these things land, but it doesn't, like, it's not like going the way that we thought. So we pull over the side for a moment. We just pray and listen. "Lord, do you have anything else that you want to say or directions? Where do we go from here?" And one person says, I'm getting the words gunmetal gray. Hence why I wore my shirt today. And the other person says, that where the water runs dry there, I think that means like the water park. Let's go over to the water park over there. Water park, we get there, it's shut down, right? Everything's dry. Then there's no one there except for one guy at the horseshoes right next to the water park. He's wearing gunmetal gray. We walk up to him, we ask him, hey, do you need prayer for anything? He says, no, I know the Lord, I know Jesus, but I don't go to church. The government, things going on with the government these days. There's dark spiritual things going on. And then his brother calls. We're not able to even continue the conversation or pray for this guy. And we leave. We have to go. Oh, sorry, before that, before his brother calls, he says, but if the churches could only be unified, and then his brother calls and we leave. And all of a sudden, it hits us at the end. All three people that we got sent to that evening emphasized the need for unity and community. All three of them mentioned the Lord, mentioned Jesus. And all three of them mentioned the government. This is weird. God, what are you trying to say to us? What do we need to recognize from this? So we share this at the AGM. I share these stories. As we have our discussion and prayer time at the AGM, people kept sharing, yeah, I see these three themes. They're very clearly there in each of these interactions. And there was definitely this sense of the word community there, unity and community is so important. But those other two words there are there. Pay attention to what's going on in the government. Bill C-9 and Bill 22, among others, are not looking good, right? But also, don't lose sight of Jesus right in the middle of this. Why am I sharing this story? Do you notice that all three things come up in our passage here today? There's a focus on Jesus. They were called Christians first at Antioch. Don't miss Jesus. There's something dark going on with the leaders in this passage. James is killed. Peter is arrested. And right in the middle of it is this desperate need for a church to grow in community and love for one another and to be that community in action to the people who need it, to be brothers and sisters. And like when Agabus shows up and says, dark times are coming, so also with our group, we were shown something, but weren't told what to do about it. Right? God's like saying, unity, I've just emphasized three things to you. Now you need to process that with me. What are we going to do about it? And I would like to suggest that also like this passage, those three things are happening at the same time, and we don't get to pick which one we're going to focus on. Look at these verses, verses 27 and verse 12, verse 1. Verse 27 says, during this time, this also happened. And then 12, verse 1, about the same time, these things are layered. They're growing in their identity of who Jesus is, right? They're recognizing there are dark spiritual things happening at high levels, and we need to be a loving one another community at the same time. We don't get to pick. It's all there. It's the same season. Jesus is saying three things in the same season. Focus on me. Be aware of what's going on in this world. Do not neglect, loving, and growing. We need it. Let's pray. Before I pray, would you just take a moment and say, Lord, from what has been shared, what do you want me to focus most on right now? Just take a moment. I really do want to encourage you to start asking the Lord, Lord, how can I use the gifts and the opportunities I have to be a part of what you're doing right now? And in particular, be thinking about those announcements. You see why I said those announcements are so important today? Why I felt like the Lord said that? So let me repeat them. Susanna Newman needs some help tomorrow night. Who will go help? We've got a potluck coming up. Is it going to be on your calendar? Will you be there for one another community? We've got a wedding shower coming up today, right? Go support our sister and our brother. Pray for the Hope Mission, for favor with the government, for the work that they are planning on doing, and that God would have his way. Think about Sam, Katie, what they shared, and how we can pray and support in really practical ways. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And like Jesus said, we want to be about our Father's business. Lord, would you help us to be about whatever you're about? What you are emphasizing, would you guide us in discerning not only what you have said, but then how do we respond to you? Because we want to be about our Father's business, like Jesus. Thank you for a story of humanitarian relief that comes because there's supernatural involvement, where people will sacrifice personally and at a cost to bless and support brothers and sisters in need. Lord, I pray that we would have that kind of heart. I pray that you would grant us discernment for how to navigate what's going on in the world, to do it with grace and wisdom and tact, to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And Lord, I bless and pray for those in leadership, and that you would rule well, and that those who are entrusted with leadership would steward well the time and opportunities that you give them. Lord, I thank you for this community. Would you grow us in loving one another well and in practical ways? Make us a blessing to you and put a smile on your face to love one another the way that you called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. You know the song, they'll know we are Christians by our love? For those of you who know it, could we sing it a cappella, just that one verse, right? We are one in the Spirit, right? I will lead, and I'm hoping you're going to drown me out pretty quickly. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen. I told you last week that for the next couple of months, what we're going to be doing is ending our services earlier so that we have more time to be a community together, to as part of saying yes to what we believe God is speaking to us, one of the things that he's emphasizing. So there's just extra time to be together today. There's coffee at the back. I got juice boxes for kids. I'm also going to put out a sign-up sheet up there so that you could bring a snack and just help provide a good and hospitable place for us to just be together. So we will put the chairs away, but then there's just lots of extra time to be with one another. And this is just as much for our Dream Center brothers and the family who've come to join them as it is for those who've been with Unity for years and years. We're all one family, and we love our Dream Center brothers. And so everyone is welcome. Please make others feel welcome. Please continue to steward this word and to enjoy one another community. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace and more of himself. In Jesus' name, bless you, friends. It's good to be with you.